most technology is either a speedometer or an odometer on your car. It's telling you how fast you're going or how far you've gone. So it's kind of giving you a rear view mirror vision of what you're doing. And really what we want is something that's a little bit more predictive or prescriptive. So in the algorithm world, in the sports analytics world, it's really, hey, can you give me some good predictive analytics, meaning, you know, this is the kind of clients I have, this is what they've been doing for the last, you know, rolling 7 days or rolling 2 or 3 weeks. This is the goal I want them to be at. What should they be doing? I think that's absolutely coming down the line. But I don't think anything is really going to ever change the interaction for what's going on, you know, trainer to client, trainer to member, coach to athlete, coach to group. Because at the end of the day, in terms of general fitness, people are coming really for, you know, three things. Some, you know, but they want to know that the person I'm working with is qualified. They've got some good science working behind them. They want that interpersonal relationship. And we're starting to see just a lot more community involvement in there. Hey, I like to go into, you know, whether it's a group fitness or a team building kind of area that they want to get there. And if we can use technology to enhance that interaction, both coach to athlete, athlete to athlete, group, to keep them motivated and keep going back, I think that's going to be there.
Hi, I'm Pete McCall. Welcome to episode 139 of All About Fitness. Before I get into the introduction for this episode's guest, first, I want to take a second to a few people who left some very, very wonderful and kind and thoughtful reviews on the website, or actually on iTunes for the podcast. To Sharon and to Carly, I want to thank you so much for those kind words. You posted reviews and you sent some kind notes. I want to say thank you. I am so glad you're getting a lot out of listening to All About Fitness. It really means a lot to me. And hopefully for other listeners, you're getting a lot out of this podcast too. If you are, the only thing I ask as you reach down and just give us a good review. Reach down, hit 5 stars. It only takes a second. Do it now. Reach down, hit the review. 5 stars. Okay. Let's go on to today. So first of all, thank you for everybody listening. But let's get into the interview. That voice you heard was Chris Frankel. Chris is the Director of Human Performance for TRX. This is the second in a series that I'm doing on how technology is or isn't impacting the fitness industry. Because what I noticed that's really interesting to me is over the last maybe 5 or 10 years, you see these people that they have an idea. They're tech people. They're brilliant. They've developed, they've created companies. They developed new technologies. And they take a look at the fitness and go, wow, these people are still hanging on bars and pulling themselves up and down. They're still falling on the ground and pushing themselves off the ground for working out. So what's interesting to me is you have people from outside of fitness that say, let's use tech to solve a solution or to provide a solution. The solution is people want to get fit, want to exercise. Well, in the reality of it, we don't need technology to get fit. That's why Chris Frankel is the perfect interview for this series, because Chris is the Director of Human Performance for TRX. And I've had Chris on as a guest of the show before. People that listen to the show know I'm a huge fan of the TRX. I have no professional affiliation. I'm not a master trainer. I have no money invested. I love the product, and I think the team that works with the company, the men and women who work with TRX, are some of the best professionals in our business. So a lot of the times I like reaching out to them because they're smart and they know what they're doing. But for this series on technology, Chris is the perfect guest because he knows a lot about technology, and TRX is kind of like the anti-technology company. So if we look at what the TRX straps are, TRX just changes the leverage of your body. So while TRX can be considered technology because it's an addition to your body, the TRX is relatively a low-tech equipment. The last time I interviewed Chris Frankel was a number of episodes ago, and I'll have a reference to that in the show notes. But the last time I interviewed Chris Frankel was because TRX released an online video motion analysis capture program. So you'll hear Chris talk about TRX Maps, and I'm going to have a link below to TRX Maps in the show notes. TRX Maps uses a camera to watch your movement and tell you the best exercises based on how you move. That's why Chris is the perfect person, because TRX is using old technology, like a pair of straps for suspension training, combined with some of the latest technology, like video cameras that watch you move and that use algorithms to determine the best exercise for your needs. After a brief word from the sponsors of All About Fitness, we have TerraCore Fitness and Hyperwear, the makers of sandbells, softbells, and the best. we're going to learn a lot about what is and isn't technology with Chris Frankel, the Director of Human Performance for TRX. Weights don't need to be high tech. If you think about it, using your own body weight is enough to help you with strength. But if we want to get strong, we got to lift something heavier than ourselves. One of my favorite things to lift in my lighter workouts, obviously if I'm going heavy, I got to rip and grip with iron. But on those days when I want a good recovery workout, or I want a very challenging core training workout, or I want a really hard metabolic conditioning workout, sandbells. Sandbells are one of my go-to work tools. I won't say products, but tools. Sandbells are neoprene sand. They're sandbags that can be swung, they can be lifted, they can be carried, they can be thrown. They're one of the perfect training tools for either the home, office, or gym. Go to hyperwear.com. That's HYPERWEAR.com. Hyperwear.com and check out sandbells. They come in a variety of sizes and they're perfect for home use because they don't roll around. And I love sandbells so much. Believe me, I've been a fan of these products for so long. I included sandbells in my recent book, Smarter Workouts, The Science of Exercise Made Simple. So if you invest in a sandbell, use code AAF10. That's AAF10 to save 10% on the purchase of a sandbell. And then purchase my book, Smarter Workouts. You'll learn how to use it and get in shape. You want to get strong. You want to do the cardio to lose weight. You want to do the balance training to help you move better and just feel better. But you only want to buy one piece of exercise equipment, TerraCore. TerraCoreFitness.com can be used as a bench. It can be used as a balance trainer. It can be even used as a weight. You can do jumps on the TerraCore. You can run around the TerraCore. Use it for agility drills. There are so many options for what you do to the TerraCore. It really blows my mind. I've been involved with this product now for about 3 years, helping launch it to the fitness industry. And every day on Instagram, go to Instagram and check out TerraCore Fitness. Check out the TerraCore Fitness feed on Instagram. I'll have that in the show notes. And you will be blown away by what you can do on the TerraCore. See why Men's Health, that's right, Men's Health voted the TerraCore one of the top best 25 in-home fitness products. Go to TerraCore Fitness on Instagram and see what people are buzzing about. And you can go to TerraCoreFitness.com. That is Terra, T-E-R-R-A, Core, Fitness.com. And use code AAF10. That is code AAF10 to save 10% on the purchase of a TerraCore for your own home or studio use.
I'm Pete McCall, All About Fitness. I'm speaking today with Chris Frankel, the head of performance with TRX. And we're going to talk a little bit about technology, Chris, because I think this is an interesting conversation. There's a lot of talk and, you know, we use technology for everything, and I'm not quite sure how technology, if technology is really going to be a game changer for fitness or what. So when we look at fitness technology, what tech that has come out lately do you think has had the biggest influence on the fitness industry or on the way we exercise?
Great question. I mean, it depends on how people define technology. I mean, I 10 years ago when I started working at TRX and we had straps with a handle on it, you can consider that a form of technology. But I think now when people say tech, we're really thinking, electronic measurement reporting and that kind of thing. I think some of the old standards of, heart rate has been able to kind of get its foot really grounded well into the fitness world. And now that we're being able to pick up optical heart rate through the wrist and even through rings, and then kind of turning that information into heart rate variability and looking at, recovery, I think that's been a big one. But really in the last 3 to 5 years, you just seen things blow up from taking things that have typically been in the lab, whether it be force plate, motion capture, jump technology, things that we're talking now about being able to not only assess central nervous system things like an omega wave, but almost start to drive things like a halo of neuroscience. It's really the Wild West out there. I'd like to think the things that are making the biggest splash are things that do some of the old things really well, like better resolution and heart rate variability, and then new things around movement and quantifying how much people are working, whether you call it trainer load or whatever. I think that's kind of the things that have caught my eye the most recently.
And that stuff, Chris, is really important. When you're looking at heart rate, measuring intensity, and overall training load,
That stuff can be critical for athletes because it's all about managing the stress and allowing them the proper recovery before they have to compete. When it comes to the average fitness enthusiast, do you think they need that much data? Do you? Because I kind of, my sense is we kind of overwhelm with people with data right now, and there's don't talk about how to use the data. We just say you have to collect the data. Do you think the average fitness consumer needs to be mindful about like load and heart rate and all that stuff?
Great question. And my short answer is no. I think because we're kind of in this Wild West stage where you can measure anything, and we're measuring everything from sleep to steps. There's that market out there to try and get people to buy into the cool factor. But at the end of the day, I was having a conversation with a couple of coaches a couple of weeks ago out of all things, a sports biometrics conference. And there's a belief that we're starting to breed a generation of fragile athletes and fragile fitness people because they're so concerned about, am I in that right heart rate zone? Am I getting enough recovery? You know, am I working with the right intensity of the weights? And we've kind of gotten away from some of the old school approaches of, you know what, sometimes harder is better. I think we've almost been this pendulum swing of let's make sure you're not working too hard. But the average gym goer, and to be honest with you, sometimes even some of the professional athletes, the problem is that they're not working hard enough to deserve that recovery. So great question, and my short answer is no. But I think what's going to end up shaking out is, what are the most important things to measure, and then what do you do with that information? You end up with 20 data streams. What are the one or two things you want to be able to give yourself a quick check on of how hard have I worked, how hard should I be working, how hard should I be looking to work moving forward?
I'm just picturing, as you say that, I'm picturing like the old school football coach yelling at the kids, and the kid looks up, but coach, my heart rate monitor says I haven't hit my recovery, and I've already gone 5,000 meters today. I'm done. You know, we're kind of getting to that point of like, yeah, we're giving the athletes too much information. And you're right. I think there is something kind of old school about working the fatigue. And yeah, having information is important, but if we don't know how to use that data, is that really necessary?
No, you're right. There was, a buddy of mine, Ben, who works, who's really the founder of Train Heroic, he was sitting next to me at the Sports Biometric Conference, and he said something really profound. He goes, hey, is there really anything in this room that is the missing piece that's keeping either a coach or a athlete or a client? Is it that one thing, that one measurement, or that one report that's keeping them from getting to their next thing or their next level? And I thought that was really a profound question. I always have to wear two or three hats. I'm still doing a lot of research. I look at the research. I'm a big measurement guy. But then also on that coaching side, it's using the right tool for the right person at the right time. Can we get the same amount of training results out of somebody with an optimal load, meaning we don't have to crush them and stay away from the risk of injury or let them recover faster so I can get more good training in during the week? But at what point do you need that? I mean, if you just look at something simple like periodization, everybody gets excited about periodization. But we know you have to be training for a good 6 months, 8 months, a year before periodization really makes a difference because you just got to build up that initial stress tolerance in the body. So I'm a big fan of technology, and we're looking at a lot of new technology devices and reporting systems. But right now, it's really what technology is going to help the fitness professional do their job better. And at the end of the day, their job is to motivate and to impart training wisdom onto their clients or athletes. And if it accelerates that, great. If it takes up the time you should be doing either developing a program or working with your client because you're trying to figure out the data, then the cost is really a little bit more than the benefit.
Well, and what technology has you excited? I mean, because when you look at this, I mean, obviously, you work with TRX, and we could say that TRX, because if we look at technology, you know, we have our body. We're born with our body. Anything that's not our body, I guess you could say technically we're adding technology to exercise if we're just doing anything more than our body. So we could qualify the straps, the TRX system, as technology. Other than the company you work for, other than TRX, what technology, what tech is kind of getting you excited about its potential to change the way that we sweat?
A couple of things. One, the concept is this idea around blood flow restriction, where you start to
somewhat restrict blood flow to the limbs. There's a couple of companies out there that do that, and there's been great science to kind of support, hey, can I take somebody who is either coming back from an injury, completely deconditioned, an elderly population where they really can't take the stress of certain types of exercise, so I can give them a lower dose of exercise and get the same or better metabolic response. I think that's a really promising technology. This whole idea of being able to measure the right things, whether it's kinematics or movement, joint angle. So if somebody walks in and I need to know, hey, I want to train you hard today, but you know what? Your squat pattern, your triple flexion, triple extension, or what I call your quadruple flexion, quadruple extension, is a little inhibited today. Do I need to spend, you know, maybe another 3 or 4 minutes doing mobility so I can give you a clean slate to go out and really put the load on that squatting pattern? Or do I need to modify your program and say, hey, we're going to take squat off the table today and really spend a lot of your lower body on the hinging pattern? Just giving me, the trainer, the coach, the right information to be able to make those decisions on the fly. And I think some of the more interesting technology coming out is bringing some of the force and pressure information to the trainer, meaning that, hey, I get to see you do a squat, and we've always, you have some people that say, hey, I want you to drive that squat through your heels, or I want you to initiate your movement this way, because we assume certain muscles are turning on, or we assume the pressure is being distributed in the foot in a certain way. To be able to have a quick either biofeedback for the athlete or client, or me to know, hey, when this person squats, they're putting way too much force into the front of their foot, so now what should be more of a hip-dominant move is a knee-dominant move. If I can take that, give them biofeedback to be able to fix it themselves, that's a great thing, or to be able to come back in 2 or 3 weeks and check to see, hey, are the mobility exercises and the training that I'm giving them, getting them to move the way I want to. I think using technology as a, not as a crutch, but as a check-in to either validate what I think is going on is happening, or to really give me new insights. So any technology that doesn't just confirm what I think is happening, but gives me like an aha moment of, oh, I didn't see that coming, but now I got a quick and dirty way to measure it, I think that's really going to be some of the game-changing stuff.
Well, and to ask a question from that, because you're talking about collecting data and watching somebody move is collecting data. You know, if I'm watching you squat, if I'm watching you push, I'm getting data, and then I have to make a decision on that data based on what I see. And that's been my big beef, I guess, Chris, when I look at all these trackers, is we're collecting data. But what we haven't hit yet, and I'll be interested to see if AI comes up with anything, and that's can I put you on a tracker for 30 days? And can I have an algorithm that starts suggesting, hey, based on what you've done the last 30 days, here's what you should be doing the next 5 to 7 days. Do you think that we're going to see that at some point of where we have the artificial intelligence that collected what we've been doing in terms of stress load, in terms of mechanical load on the body? And do you think we'll be able to put that into a system or put that into an application, for lack of a better term, that people can use to kind of be coached via their device?
That is a complex question. Let me try and jump at it a couple of different ways. Short answer is yes. I think that's coming down the line. I think you've hit on what one of the big issues or roadblocks has been with technology. The best analogy that we talk around here is most technology is either a speedometer or an odometer on your car. It's telling you how fast you're going or how far you've gone. So it's kind of giving you a rear view mirror vision of what you're doing. And really what we want is something that's a little bit more predictive or prescriptive. So in the algorithm world, in the sports analytics world, it's really, hey, can you give me some good predictive analytics, meaning, you know, this is the kind of clients I have, this is what they've been doing for the last, you know, rolling 7 days or rolling 2 or 3 weeks. This is the goal I want them to be at. What should they be doing? I think that's absolutely coming down the line. But I don't think anything is really going to ever change the interaction for what's going on, you know, trainer to client, trainer to member, coach to athlete, coach to group. Because at the end of the day, in terms of general fitness, people are coming really for, you know, three things. Some, you know, but they want to know that the person I'm working with is qualified. They've got some good science working behind them. They want that interpersonal relationship. And we're starting to see just a lot more community involvement in there. Hey, I like to go into, you know, whether it's a group fitness or a team building kind of area that they want to get there. And if we can use technology to enhance that interaction, both coach to athlete, athlete to athlete, group, to keep them motivated and keep going back. I think that that's going to be there. The human system is such a dynamic system that all we can do is say, hey, here's another data point for you to make an informed decision. And here's two things I want to do. I want to take the things off the table for you that could be potentially injurious, and I want to give you things that have the best opportunity to get you where you want to go. And there's some good machine learning and AI out there doing that right now, but we're still pretty early on. I still don't think even me as a geeky guy is ever going to be the guy that's going to follow exactly what my phone is telling me to do, but I can look at it and say, hey, you know, I've done, you know, 7 high intensity workouts over the last 9 days. Ah, it might be a good idea for me to kind of balance things out with, you know, a little bit more lower intensity or mind body or yoga kind of approach.
Or just a Netflix and chill afternoon and not really do anything.
Yeah, Netflix, wings and beer, dude. That'll be the app I'm looking for. Tell me when I can have my wings and beer.
Oh, right. I mean, how important is that too, to get people to realize it's not all exercise all the time, and that, you know, we need to balance that out with just other activities. And because when you look at that, I mean, if you go out for wings and a beer, the proverbial wings and a beer, isn't that social? Couldn't we look at that social environment and being out as a form of just a different form of input? We're putting different data sources or data streams into our body, right? It's not just exercise load. We're now putting a social load in the body.
Yeah, I mean, I think the social load will be hard to capture, but I think you're right there. But what we do know is the biggest ergogenic aid we can have right now for most people in our society is sleep. And I think that's the other place where we're starting to see technology having an opportunity to make a dent on tracking sleep, on giving people an understanding of how important it is. Hey, it's when you're sleeping that, you know, different things happen with your central nervous system, with your endocrine system, letting you recover. I mean, there's great data now from the sleep scientists saying that, you know, you go for more than, you go for even a couple of days where you're getting less than 6 hours of sleep, that's having an impact on your ability to exercise and ability to recover. And I heard a great lecture at the conference I was at, that one of the sleep scientists saying that people seem to think that if we start tracking sleep, people start getting better at sleep. And they said, well, we've had scales around for a long time, and just because we're tracking people's weights, we sure are not seeing them manage their weight much better. So, yeah, giving these tracking is only the beginning of it. You really got to make things actionable. And so I think that's one thing I didn't mention. We got to collect good data. We got to make sure that we can give good results. And you got to make sure those results are actionable. And in fact, anything that not just TRX is looking at, but from a good scientific as well as applied standpoint, technology, from an assessment standpoint and driving standpoint, has to be able to do 4 things. It has to be able to discriminate good from bad, meaning, hey, if you're a good squatter versus a bad squatter, and what makes good or bad. Then describe what makes them good or bad. Is it a mobility issue? Is it a motor control issue? Is it a symmetry issue? And then the technology has to be responsive, meaning that it can detect a true improvement. So let's say you did an overhead squat, and we saw that you have limited range of motion in your hips, and now you get off there and you do whatever it is. You do some foam rolling, you do some core activation. So we actually give you more range of motion in those hips. That technology's got to be able to detect that authentic improvement. But then the fourth and most important thing is it's got to direct you. It's got to give you things that say, hey, on a scale from 1 to 10, you scored a 4. Do these things to move your 4 to a 5. So if technology can't satisfy those 4 things, I just started calling it the 4D approach, it's got to be able to discriminate, it's got to be able to describe, it's got to be able to detect, and it's got to be able to direct. If it's not doing that, and it's not doing it in a quick fashion and make it actionable for the trainer or the athlete or the member, then you better rethink what you're doing on there. And the sleep science is kind of getting in that area right now. So if I could just fix one thing in my life, and I could fix my sleep, I think that's going to have a lot of downstream effects on everything else we're talking about as well.
That's an interesting. I like the fact, though, you just differentiated between data collection and application, because your name came up in when I was speaking with the Halo Neuroscience guys, and we spoke about that briefly as we're getting started here. And I was interested in what you thought of that. And for listeners, the Halo Neuroscience, their set of headphones, that their claim is they use a low amperage. I can't remember if it's low amperage or low voltage, but they're using safe current I'll emphasize the stay because I know I can't remember if it's the bolts or the amps that get you. I know one of them do. But it's being put into your brain through the headphones that their claim is activates the motor cortex. And what's your thought on something like that? Because that, to me, Chris, is way next gen. I mean, that's much more than collecting heart rate data and trying to determine what to do. We're talking about being able to teach people how to move better. Do you think we're there yet with technology?
You know what? The Halo guys are not too far from us, and I've been interacting with them now for close to a year. And like any, you know, I'd like to think like any good scientist or any good coach, I'm really skeptical on anything. Their founder knows what he's doing. Am I ready to say I'm buying stock in Halo to get my kids through school? Not quite there yet. I've been using it for a while, just anecdotally. I absolutely notice that there's something going on when I use it. That's just, you know, an N of one at this point. Their data supports it pretty well. The concept of can you potentiate the brain in such a way that you can acquire skills or acquire cognitive abilities faster sure makes sense. And I agree with you. That is really the future of it. Can you create an environment as a teacher, as a coach, can you create an environment where your client, where your member, where your athlete can acquire skills and abilities faster? That's what we do with our cueing. That's what we do when we're putting together programming it. Our intent is to try to get them to have some kind of external environment for them to acquire skills and abilities faster. Is there a way to do the same thing from the inside out? It looks promising. It looks promising, and I've been impressed with those guys so far.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And that's the thing, Chris, and I'm glad that you're kind of giving that same support. Is I want to kind of get an objective, kind of like like a third party that really knows their stuff, I mean, that's you, and understands movement and coaching. And, you know, is it applicable? Because I've been trying them out too, and I've been doing a mountain bike ride with the headphones, listening to them and going on the mountain bike ride. And I can't tell, because if you practice anything enough, you're going to get better at it, right?
Right.
If you practice any movement enough, you're going to get better. And it's really hard to discern, am I going faster? Am I making better choices or am I moving quicker because I'm pumping some amps into my brain before I ride or not? It's just me getting better. And that's where I think it really can be difficult to see, because some of the anecdotal evidence online that they've put out there from athletes and musicians using the headphones, they certainly seem like they work. Is it one of those things of where if you think it works, do you think it will have a difference? Do you think something like that would have a placebo effect that maybe we can't really measure but just can make a difference in somebody's way they're training?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, is it the placebo effect? And on, then you have this other conversation, because I worked a lot with pro athletes in the military. If you do something and you get better, sometimes you don't really care if it's the placebo effect or not. But from our perspective, we want to know, you know, what's the mechanism behind it. And so I think once things settle down for me, probably the late next winter, I've really been able to put together, for lack of a better term, kind of a ghetto exercise phys lab in my garage, because we've got some good partners. So obviously we have our TRX Max, which is kind of a kinematic 3D motion. We're doing some work with a company called BodyTrap, which is looking at both foot pressure and force where your feet meet the ground. So now we can put together kinematics and kinetics. Have a velocity-based training piece of equipment called GymAware. And just now starting to be exposed to a company called Athos, which is garments that have surface EMGs on them. So in reality, would someone train with all these things? Nah, probably not. But can you get enough feedback to connect the dots and say, hey, even if you have zero technology, can I take lessons learned from the data and, if nothing else, turn it into better coaching cues and better biofeedback mechanisms? I think if I were to pick something that I think is really going to make a difference moving forward, is can we find a way to use our cueing to people to get them to acquire things better based on some type of individual movement signature they have? So
yeah, that's,
a lot of
that,
times,
that, Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, to say, from that point, from queuing, it's not necessarily tech-based. That's learning yourself better and learning how to give better instructions and learning how to give better feedback and more specific feedback. I mean, it just, there's so many things. There's so many ways that we can improve human performance. I think it can really be hard to dial it down to any one variable. Yet that seems to be what we always look for, right? We're always looking for that one thing that can flip the dial, that can turn the dial.
We're always looking for that silver bullet, which isn't there. And I think what may turn out to be interesting with tech is we come back to letting people learn themselves and going through this discovery period. So if I'm standing or have a client or athlete standing on this body track that looks at pressure, and I say, hey, look, you see how your feet, you know, you got a good footprint there? Do whatever you have to give me that same foot pressure as you go through a squat. Give me whatever you have to do to be able to take a bar up over your head and give me an overhead squat. Now I'm not trying to cue you to do anything. They're looking at it. They're exploring it. They're trying to figure out where it is, and they're getting that immediate feedback. So now when I take them off that mat and I say, hey, I want you to feel your feet pressuring into the ground the exact same way, but now I'm giving you a strap, or now I'm giving you a kettlebell, or now I'm asymmetrically loading you. I want you to keep that same interaction going on with your feet. Now they're coaching themselves, which is really where I think we want to end up going, is giving our clients and our athletes enough information so they can kind of auto-regulate what they want to do. And I think technology has a way to give that kind of biofeedback component as well.
And that's, I think you're right. And final question here, and I respect your time and don't want to take too much of it, but when we look around in the greater economy, you have Google, Apple, Uber. None of those companies are a car company. Uber provides a service. It's not a manufacturer. Yet these two companies are all in a race to develop a driverless car. So you might have Google or Apple totally upend and totally disrupt the transportation industry and fundamentally change how we use transportation once we get to the self-driving car. So do you think there's which industry, other than like tech, do you think there's an industry, Chris, that could disrupt fitness the way that tech is getting ready to disrupt the automobile or automotive industry?
Huh. Wow. That's a good one. Do I think there's going to be something that completely disrupts fitness in that way? I'm sure there is. Nobody jumps to my mind right now. I think what we learned from these tech companies that are being successful is they get into the market delivering a specific service that offers a solution to a universally acknowledged pain point. And the information, whether we call that information data or experience or feedback, leads them to solve other problems along those ways. So it might be, you know, they came in to try and figure out how to get people from one destination to another using an existing mode of transportation that now evolves to the next solution for that same problem. I think one of the problems with fitness, exercise science, sports science is we're very siloed in that, hey, I'm a biomechanist. Hey, I'm a physiologist. Hey, I am a kettlebell guy. Hey, I'm a TRX guy. And so we kind of get this interdisciplinary approach to what are the one or two things that are keeping people from living their better lives through fitness, whether it's time management, whether it's maybe some type of tracking, maybe it's just feeling better. I think it may be, if you were to put me on the spot, it may be somebody like the Audible who now all of a sudden provides fitness, or one of the meditation apps that, okay, now that I've got your attention, I've got you relaxed, let me just start to titrate in a little bit of movement or exercise, and then people start to treat exercise not like exercise, but just like another habit you're doing every day. And I think that's going to end up being where we're going. If we look at 20 years ago, you worked out because you were either a PE class or sports, to today, fitness is really kind of a social activity because I'm going to my soul cycle or I'm going to some other social event, to where we're moving forward later on is, hey, I get up, I brush my teeth, I do other some type of morning ritual to enhance my life, not just from a fitness standpoint, but for how I interact with the environment, how I interact with my family, how I interact with myself. I think that might be the area that comes down where fitness is no longer siloed as fitness. Fitness is just something you do in the day because that's what it takes to be a good human being.
Dude, that's awesome. And as you're saying that, what kind of makes me giggle a little bit is just putting your workouts into, like, if you sat down on a Sunday, Chris, and you looked at the week and said, okay, I'm going to work out Monday morning, Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday at lunchtime, and you put those in your calendar and set up your reminders, isn't that use of technology?
Yeah, just like when you say that, it makes me think of meal prepping. Hey, on Sunday, everyone does their meal prep. Hey, everybody should be doing their movement or their training prep as well. But yeah, absolutely use of technology.
Yeah, spend a few minutes just looking at your week and planning it out, or just going on the apps and booking your slots in the, hey, I'm gonna go to SoulCycle tomorrow. You want to meet me at bar? Do you want to do a studio bar workout Tuesday morning?
Yeah,
we'll get our bar.
Yep. And then it becomes do what we realize tech. You know, what tech? One of the downsides of tech is it isolates us. You end up spending too much time with your Facebook friends than you do with your real life friends. But now all of a sudden, you use technology to use fitness as part of your social interaction. And now all of a sudden, it comes back to what you were talking about a minute ago. The beer and wings now gets replaced with SoulCycle and bar. And now we're really talking about, you know, technology doing something better for us across the board.
That's awesome, dude. Hey, Chris, I appreciate your time. Chris Frankel, the head of performance with TRX. Man, you're always just a wealth of knowledge. Where can people get more information about TRX? Because you guys, I mean, I think one of the challenges that you guys have, Chris, is the TRX system, the straps, are such an intuitive piece of equipment for people like us that know how to move. But for people that may not, I think that's the thing. It's overwhelming. Okay, I got these things. They're awesome. What do I do with them? If people own a TRX, where can they go to get some exercise information or some insight into what they could be doing with it?
Yeah, easiest places to go are TRXtraining.com. If you get on the App Store, there's a TRX app. There's also a TRX Force app. And then keep your eyes peeled on our website for exactly the problem you're talking about. We've come up with something we call the Daily 8 that I really kind of developed working with the military so much. People have never seen straps before. I go in and I say, do these 8 exercises. And if you never did anything else on the strap, this is going to be a huge bang for your buck. And you do it on a daily basis.
Dude, that's awesome, man. Make it easy, make it actionable, and give people the opportunity to do that. Hey, Chris, man, I appreciate your time. I appreciate what you're doing, and I look forward to speaking with you again soon.
All right, Pete, thanks for your time, man.
Okay, I have to admit something to you guys. During that interview, when Chris made that comment about scales have been around for centuries, yet the technology isn't really helping people lose weight, I laughed so hard. I had to go in there and edit that out because I laughed all over. Because that's so true. Think about the technology. A scale can be considered technology. How's a scale doing to helping people lose weight, right? And when you look at technology like a speedometer or an odometer tells you how far you've gone. Your fitness tracker might tell you how many calories you've burned. Okay, great. You know how many calories you burn, but how does that help you for tomorrow? Yes, you can try to track the workouts that help you burn the most calories or that just feel the best or give the best return. But that's one of the reasons why I'm doing this series is trying to determine or ask the question, which technology do we need? Which technology can help us move better? Which technology can help us be fitter? And I'm using fitness as like an active verb. Like being fit means having the ability. Being fit means you're able to perform. Being fit means you have work capacity. To me, that's what fitness is. All right, if it's not appearance. People listen to the show regularly know I don't care about appearance. If you're working out because you want to look better, God bless you. You're better off listening to another podcast. I'm sorry. Most people will tell you not to listen to theirs. You know, I'm here about human performance, and I'm here about how to use exercise to improve our longevity. What kind of chafes me a little bit is when these tech companies come in, they say, we have a technology, we can help you do fitness better. I'm sorry, but if you're not already in our industry, I don't want to listen. I'm not really interested in what you have to say. That's one of the reasons why I have so much respect for that team at TRX. Randy, and I've interviewed Randy Hetrick 2 times for the show. This is my 2nd time interviewing Chris Frankel. These guys have really created a whole category of bodyweight training that started out very basic, and yet even though the TRX is very basic, it is still very helpful and can help you get into shape. That's why I thought this was a great interview, because it's basic technology, but they're combining it with some of the latest technology, like Halo Neuroscience. You know, Chris and I talked about Halo Neuroscience a little bit. The next interview you're going to hear is from one of the people of that company, because theoretically, it's a great idea. You can use low amperage current to kind of trigger the motor cortex, to trigger the body how to work. So as we go, you're going to hear from somebody from Halo Neuroscience. Today, you heard Chris Frankel talk a little bit about how he uses that in the program and how they're helping people learn how to move better. Well, the next interview you're going to hear is from somebody whose product can help that happen. Pro athletes are using it. Musicians are using it. Maybe it could help you swing a golf club better. Maybe it could help you run a little bit better. We don't know. That's the question about technology. Technology can be really advanced or it can be very basic, but we have to look at what can it do to help us move better, be better, do that Kaizen. Kaizen is the art of continuous improvement. Can we get 1% better today? And that's how I look at technology. Can it help me get a little bit better? Or, and I believe this, technology sometimes just gets in the way. I don't need a fiddle with a pad, a pod, a phone, a blah. I sometimes want to get a workout. I don't want to have to download the app. I don't want to download the update. I don't want to watch that stupid spinning wheel of death on Apple products in order to work out because I need something to update or download. As we go through this series, the whole point that I'm trying to ask is, do we need technology to achieve the level of fitness that we want in our life? Simple question. Do we need tech? And if so, what technology can we use? That's the question I'm trying to ask with this series, and that's what we try to address today with Chris Frankel, the Director of Human Performance from TRX. You can reach me, Pete, at PeteMcCallFitness.com. We have a new email. Our email address is All About Fitness Podcast. That is All About Fitness Podcast on the email, and that's at gmail.com. So All About Fitness Podcast at Gmail. You can follow me on Instagram. Instagram is PeteMcCallFitness, and that's PeteMcCall_fitness. That's PeteMcCall_fitness on Instagram, or PeteMC_fitness on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about exercise, if you want to learn more about fitness, check out Smarter Workouts, The Science of Exercise Made Simple. It takes my 20 years of fitness and puts it into one book to help you move towards a healthier life. The link will be below in the show notes. Thanks for dropping by, and I look forward to having you join me for future episodes of All About Fitness. Thanks, Parker.
You're welcome.